Welcome to the Great Outdoor Show on WLVL, presented by Destination Niagara USA. To be a part of today's show, call in anytime, 716-433-1433.
All right, and today is Tuesday, November 22nd. We are here with our very own Frank Campbell, outdoor sports director of everything, all things fishing in Niagara County and the world's greatest outdoor show. Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Hey, good morning. It's a good day. Not only the weather is cooperating outside, but I also got the trivia teaser right.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Frank Campbell got the trivia teaser question right, and we applaud him. You even did get his gold star today, as promised.
Yeah.
And sorry about it was a junior sheriff's badge, and all the people at Tim Hortons were getting out of your way saying, excuse me, sir, didn't mean to bother you. Tell you what, that little shiny thing gets you a long ways.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've been having a blast all morning. For those of you who are just joining us here in WLVL, we've had Frank and Bill Hills Jr. In studio all morning talking about hunting and fishing and birds. Birds. Can you imagine that? Talking about birds on a fishing show.
Well, you want to know what? It's not strictly a fishing show. I mean, we have everything outdoors here in Niagara County, and birds are part of the outdoors. And we, let's get right into that. We did have a pretty unique visitor here to the Western New York area in Lewiston last week. We found a bird that's supposed to be down in South America, and the northernmost part of his range is southern Florida, a limpkin. And basically, it's a shorebird that feeds primarily on snails. And it was sighted, luckily by me, about 10 days ago, maybe 2 weeks ago now, in Lewiston, kind of milling around. And I was like, I've never seen a bird like that before in my life. And got to take a couple pictures of it and send it on to some birding experts. And they were like, they thought that I was lying. They thought that, we were trying to set him up with some type of fake scenario.
Or a joke or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And the gentleman went down there, Willie went down there, and he saw it with his own eyes. And I'm telling you, Eric, within an hour and a half, there were 20 birders down there. And it was a constant birding viewing down there at the Lewiston Dock for about a week straight. It was unbelievable. And then it's a life bird for a lot of these people that are bird watchers. And in the end, it looked like the weather was going to turn bad, and it was going to come a time where, this bird was not going to be able to feed, number one. And two, it's a little colder than it is down in the southern part of Florida and South America here at this time of the year. So there was some concerns about the bird not making it. And it's a little bit controversial whether you could step it, whether you should step in or whether you should let Mother Nature take its course. But it's actually not an endangered bird. It's a bird that's maybe uncommon or not as common as it once was. So People thought it was the right thing, and they sent a wildlife rehabilitator in there to trap it. And they happened to do it with the cooperation of the village of Lewiston being able to turn off the lights down there at night. They were able to trap it. And it's on its way to the wildlife rehabilitation, I believe, tri-state down in the, down towards Rhode Island area. And from there, it's going to make the trek to down south, down to the Florida area. I got an update that it was not eating snails, but eating smelt. And it was actually pretty hungry, even though we saw him feeding aggressively and, feeding right through his whole visit on the local snails. Seems that he had a good taste for smelt, like a lot of people do, and ended up eating like 50 to 80 smelt while they were holding him locally to get him transferred. So he was hungry, and he actually started gaining weight, and that's one of the big things that they look for. If the bird or an animal is going to start gaining weight, it's going in the right direction, and they deemed him physically able to travel, and now he's on his way back to South Florida. I mean, I did volunteer to take him there. It might have taken me a month and a half to get him there, but
It's understood. You got to be careful transporting rare birds.
Yeah, yes.
You might have to stop frequently once you get past a certain spot in the South.
In the Florida.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, Florida's a long state, man. It takes a long time to get from stem to stern in Florida.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking like 2 or 3 days per stop. Make sure everything's okay.
Yeah, and then if you go down one coast, it's probably safest to come back up the other coast.
You're giving me a lot of good ideas. I like this, Eric.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, it just seems like the right thing to do.
Yeah, so, I mean,
Oh, what's this?
Here to get things a little more away is a friend of mine, a little bitty man with a great big hit record. Meet Mr. Jimmy Dickens.
What's going on here, Frank?
I have no idea. It's not me playing.
I was walking down the street, spied a big man with Rex upon his feet. Took a penny from my pocket, in his tin cup I did drop it, and I heard him say as I made my retreat. Made the bird of paradise fly up your nose, made Alan caress you with his toes, made your wife play with a rudder in her hose, made the bird of paradise fly up your nose.
It just seemed appropriate at the time. Call me crazy.
Well, I didn't want to call you that out loud, but Eric, it was crazy. You know, I mean, it was a good ending to a bird that, you know, wasn't supposed to be here, and how we got here, that's another big mystery. You know, there are some theories out there that it was blowing, you know, north on the hurricane when it came through and just kept going. There's also, they're not a migrating bird, so they usually don't go back and forth. You know, something happened and it ended up here. And, you know, there was a lot of opportunity for a lot of people to get down there and get pictures of it or view it as their life bird. And there's a lot more birders in the area than what I had originally thought. I mean, you're talking about people coming in from, you know, the states surrounding New York just to take a look at this bird, because obviously the only other place you're going to go down and view it is South Florida, you know, and not everyone's going to do it. So
that's right. It really is a once-in-a-lifetime event. And you are the one who spotted that bird. You are hitting it pretty hard here lately. You get trivia teaser rights.
That's right.
You get to be the one to spot the bird of paradise and set this record for New York State. You know, you got some pretty good feathers to fluff yourself there, mister. We're pretty proud of you, Frank.
Yeah, I felt like after Bill left this morning that I should go to Tim Hortons and reward you guys with some Timmy Ho's, because Bill wasn't here, I'm not going to lie. But.
Well, you saved yourself $17. Now that he's gone.
Yeah, we got rid of him. So, you know, I mean, the back onto the Limpkin, you know, it's done. It's over with. It was an opportunity for people. And, you know, great if you took that opportunity. You know, sorry if you didn't get word. But there was a lot of, you know, different birding sites and Niagara Falls USA site that, you know, had promoted that the bird was there. So, you know, I'm just happy that it had a good ending, you know.
Absolutely.
The bird's back where it should be.
Yeah, you know, we have another guest on Ask the Pro, Eric Connor from Connor Wealth Management, and he turned me on to a little app on your phone where it listens to the birds chirping, and it will identify the bird for you, send you a picture of it and tell you what it is and everything. So bird watchers, there's a lot of them around here. Who knew?
Well, exactly. I knew, but I didn't know, you know, and there's some other opportunities if you are a birder, you know, in the future. In February, they have Birds on the Niagara, which is a festival that they have. It's more of an in-classroom, seminar-based, you know, opportunity where you, you know, sign up for it and you, you know, are fed information from birding experts and basically move on to, you know, outdoors to look at the birds. So we have opportunities here that a lot of people don't know about or, you know, take advantage of. And one of the opportunities is wintertime, you know, bird watching around the falls area, especially. There's a lot of ducks. There's a lot of gulls. I mean, we have unlimited number of gulls. And it was funny because a lot of people that were down there that were looking at the limpkin were also, you know, taking time to spot little gulls out in the water over the Niagara or Bonaparte gulls or whatever it may be. So it's a pretty unique opportunity here, and we do promote it to, you know, get people here to partake in what we do have. Interesting, as we pointed out, the weather. You know, they wanted to get this bird out of there before the weather got bad. And a lot of people have been asking me, you know, how is this weather going to affect hunting, fishing, things of that nature? Although we didn't get it bad here, we are going to feel the effects of it. And what I mean by that is, with this system coming through, Lake Erie's been real rough. You're talking about waves that were predicted yesterday of 14 feet.
Whoa.
You know, so it really creates a shoreline erosion effect where the water is going to get dirty. So they're going to be dealing with dirty water in the lower Niagara River. As the temperatures warm up, all this snow is going to melt. So it's going to melt into the drainage ditches, which end up in the creeks and, different water sources. And we're going to have lower river dirty water from that. We're going to have the creeks that are going to fill up. On the backside of that, when the water does clear and the streams start going down tributaries, the fishing will become very, very good. It actually draws in fish to the tributaries and to the river itself. So, you know, I know the river has been reporting decent fishing, lake trout, which opened next week, steelhead, brown trout, and you also have some good fishing at 18 Mile Creek. And I would assume with this much snowfall in the area that we're going to start seeing some of those other tributaries that didn't have a lot of snow. You know, didn't have enough water. There's enough snow that we're actually going to raise those levels, and we're going to have some decent fishing ahead. As far as the deer, you know, the deer hunting, deer season shotgun opened up last week, and, you know, it's just in time for all this crazy snowfall. I mean, it affects the deer as it affects the hunters, too. You really can't get out there when you have 7 feet of snow, and luckily we didn't have it in our area, but a lot of guys don't hunt here. They hunt down southern tier area, and, you know, they were affected. A lot of guys didn't go, and the deer take has shown that when they did the check stations, there weren't as many deer being reported in, things of that nature. We also have duck season coming up, you know, which this weather has brought down a lot of ducks, you know, from the north that we didn't have. I start seeing some old squaws, some white-winged scoters, other ducks in bigger numbers, and that signifies usually the weather's starting to, close the waterways up there, and they don't have the open water that they need, so they start migrating down here. So things are setting up to be, a little more normal, and we should have some good hunting opportunities coming up when this melts off for the deer. And also, with duck season coming up, we're starting to see a lot more ducks. We're also, going to have some great fishing opportunities come up. And the weather doesn't look bad for the next couple of weeks. It's going to be high 30s, low 40s. You know, it's not perfect conditions for some things, but it beats the heck out of 7 feet of snow and 20 degrees with winds.
You got that right.
Yeah.
So shotgun season started Saturday, and I live in Newfane. I live in pretty rural spot there. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know what's going on, but it sounded like the 4th of July out there. I mean, it wasn't just, aim and shoot once. It was pow, 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 pow. I'm like, what do you got, semi-automatic shotguns? You're trying to tear Bambi into 36 custom-made pieces? Well, is there etiquette or is there some safety issues with, it was crazy.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing, no matter where you are or what you're, pursuing hunting wise, you really need to put safety first and know your target, know that number one, you can get a clean shot, a kill shot where, the animal's not going to suffer, but also you want to make sure that you're not shooting swords, potential other people, houses, traffic, things of that nature. And we've seen it happen year in, year out, that guys don't do that and somebody gets hurt. So, one thing is safety first and make sure that it's light and make sure you abide by the rules and keep safe and you're going to have a good hunt.
For sure, yeah, and make sure the harvest counts. We have a special guest on the line. Can you guess who it is?
He's going to be mad.
He's going to be mad. Uh-oh. Good morning, Mr. Bill Hiltz, Jr. Welcome to the world's greatest outdoor show with your best friend, Frank, and me.
Well, how did you know it was me?
I am a physic.
He has ESPN.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so be careful how loud you think.
Yes.
No, listen, thanks for joining us, Bill. We're doing great. Yeah. And, you know, did you hear Frank say you were going to be mad?
You know, I did hear that.
You know why you're going to be mad?
Did he go get donuts?
Better. He went and got us breakfast sammies. With
get out of here.
With bacon, egg, cheese, on muffins, on biscuits. He got a whole variety pack here that he brought to WLVL Studios.
I did have your name on one of them, but I didn't realize that you left other than the fact that you pulled out ahead of me.
Liar,
I thought you might have still been here. No, I want to make sure that you still had enough room for Thanksgiving. I don't want to overstuff you.
No, I got plenty of room for Thanksgiving.
Well, good morning, Bill. One thing that we were talking about was the bird, the Lewis the Limpkin, but also, you know, a little bit of hunting. And I know that you partook in a little bit of hunting this past weekend with some guys down in the Southern Tier. How was your experience overall? We're hearing that the take was down as far as check-ins. You know, what about in the Hilts world?
Well, I went down and hunted in Steuben County, which is usually rated one of the highest whitetail areas as far as final harvest in the state, if not the highest. And we saw plenty of deer. I hunted out of the camp of Mike and Mark Fox. We hunt the Hartsville area, and everybody saw deer. You know, it was grass, green grass, no snow. And pretty amazing considering what had happened in Western New York area, south of Buffalo, you know, Hamburg, Orchard Park, you know, even all the way down to Chautauqua County. Everybody had quite a bit of snow, but it never made it over as far as Steuben. Steuben is just east of Allegheny County. And, again, we saw plenty of deer, just either opted not to shoot or didn't have an opportunity to shoot. There was one gentleman in camp, Bob Saunderson from Fulton, who managed to take a small buck for opening day. So we did have some deers on the deer pole, but you know, it was kind of a cold, blustery day, and it was a little uncomfortable unless you're hunting inside of a stand. And then Sunday morning, it was some snow had arrived. There was a small band of lake effect that came all across the state from Lake Erie, and we had 4 or 5 inches of snow pretty quick. But with it came wind. It was cold. Wind chill was 6 degrees, and I opted to stay and have breakfast with Mike George from Niagara Falls, and we stayed warm right next to the campfire. So it was a good experience again. Good to get back out there. But, you know, dealing with Mother Nature is difficult sometimes. You know, you look at the fishing situation right now. I know local anglers are chomping at the bit to get out there for the muskie fishing, because November and early December is really when the big fish are caught. And right now that Niagara River is like chocolate milk. I don't know if you've mentioned it at all, Frank, but the muskie season in the upper Niagara River and Lake Erie, which includes Buffalo Harbor, has an extended season. It's going to be going to December 15th now. And it used to close on November 30th. So this is an opportunity for people to get out there. Unfortunately, you have to deal with what Mother Nature dishes out. And we're going to be fighting some turbid conditions. And, you know, there was gale force winds yesterday. It's, you know, when you can get out there under conditions that will at least allow the fish to be able to see a bait or live bait, it's just going to be luck of the draw, and you need to be able to react quickly when that opportunity does arise. It's clear enough for these muskie to see it. You know, there's a reason they call them the fish of 10,000 casts, and catching one is awfully difficult sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, 10,000 casts is a lot of casts. I'm going to go back a little bit, Bill, when you talked about being at hunting camp. As you get further into your hunting career, you know, and I talk to a lot of guys through a lot of different avenues, it seems like a lot of guys, you know, yeah, the hunt's a big part of it, but also just the camaraderie and, you know, getting to deer camp is going to be like – just as important to them. You know, do you find yourself in that scenario? I mean, you talked about the weather not cooperating and, you know, it's not a need to put food on the table. So, you know, you're going to get out there when the conditions maybe are a little bit better, and I'm sure you'll get back out. But, you know, as opposed to the guys that are just die hard, you know, I think I found myself even with fishing doing the same thing. You know, if it's not, I don't really have to go. You know, I just like to go, and if I'm going to go, I want to enjoy it to the max.
Sure, and one of the things we discussed, yes, you know, if you're not out there hunting, you're in the camp, you're telling stories, you're eating some great meals. You know, Mark Fox always does this huge pot of sauce with meatballs and Italian sausage that his wife puts together, and that takes up a big part of our feast that we have, you know. But one of the things that we discussed was the change that took place. You know, I'm going to say it was 10, 12 years ago. It could be longer because time seems to be going by quicker now. But the deer season used to always open, the regular season used to always open on a Monday.
Yep.
And they changed it. They moved it to a Saturday. And that took away a big component of what that deer season was all about as far as the regular season is concerned. Before, you know, guys would go down on a Friday night and, you know, get the camp ready, you know, maybe sight their guns in Saturday, Sunday, and then it would open on Monday. And that was the tradition for years and years and years. And then when they switched it to Saturday, it's like now you're forcing people to alter their schedules. It just wasn't the same at deer camp. It wasn't the same at some of the little local shops or restaurants because, you know, instead of a busy Saturday, Sunday down in those southern tier towns, now everybody's out hunting. So, you know, every single one, I've never found anybody, especially from mid-age on up to seniors, that really was in favor of that change of the hunting season. One of the reasons they did it was they thought they might be able to get more youth out there. But, you know, when I was a kid, I took that week of school off. You know, it was like a self-proclaimed holiday as far as hunting was concerned. That and the opening of pheasant season, those were my day offs as far as school was concerned, and it was acceptable. You know, when I was going to school at Star Point, all my friends, they all went deer hunting. And that was just part of the era, part of the tradition. So, you know, the deer camp is definitely a big part of the tradition. And, you know, I'm not going to say it takes a backseat to the actual hunt, but, you know, it's an important part, and I think that some of that was lost when those dates were changed.
Yeah, I have a tendency to agree. You know, you hear a lot of feedback from different guys, and, you know, the deer camp aspect of it is probably just as important as everything else, and traditions. You know, they've come to, you know, do things the same year after year and pass them down from generation to generation, and now there's a change, you know. So change is always, you know, difficult and, you know, always not, you know, 100% accepted. I mean, you understand why they tried to change, but sometimes, you know, you got to rethink these changes, I guess. And, you know, hopefully, if the, you know, the feedback and the numbers are down, maybe they need to go back to, you know, an opener during the week sort of scenario.
Yeah, so those numbers are going to be down here as far as the beginning of the season, and maybe it'll catch up. Maybe it'll be a busier Thanksgiving weekend. Maybe it'll be better later in the season. They are going to have, DEC has announced that they will continue with that holiday hunt for archery, crossbow, and muzzleloader for that December 26th to January 1st, similar to last year. So, you know, there's definitely opportunities. I think overall deer population numbers are up a little bit, but you know, right now they're out of the gate. They're definitely behind where they were last year. I had earlier today mentioned about Dale Dunkelberger had contacted Ken Baginski, who is the Region 9 Fish and Wildlife Director, and he said numbers were low. Well, I didn't realize how low until he shot back with some numbers to Dale, and they were at, I think, 3 deer on Saturday.
Wow.
6 deer on Sunday and 1 bear.
So where did they do this, you know, check station? Where is it located?
So there's really only one deer check station for opening weekend, and it's on Route 16, just south of the town of Holland. And it's been there for a long time, as long as I can remember. They do have a little bit of a check station down in Allegheny State Park. But, you know, Dale shot me a text saying, you know, if you lived in that snow zone where they got the lake effect of 70 to 80 inches, you know, if you didn't get out early, then you were snowed in.
Yep.
If you got out early, you couldn't make it back home. So that's one of the reasons why those numbers are probably so low. So we'll just have to wait and see. You know, there's going to be wildlife biologists out checking all the deer processors and taxidermy shops and things like that to kind of compare notes and see where we are so they can make a final harvest determination here in the springtime.
Yeah, I mean, I know that, you know, there's also an opportunity to check your deer in through the app that New York State just put out, I do believe.
Yeah, it's NY Hunt Fish, I believe, is the smartphone app. And just a reminder that it's mandatory for you to report a deer harvest or a bear harvest. So make sure you do that, and it just helps. Last year, I think it was something like 55% of hunters that were successful actually reported their harvest to the state. So it just helps everybody in the long run to follow through and make sure you report it.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy low number. I mean, I know, you know, getting off on another subject, everybody should know that you are the reporter for the Buffalo News, or you know, do some stuff for the Buffalo News. And I had a call in between when we talked last that, you know, the lady was like, is Bill retired? Is he on vacation? I didn't see his article in the paper this past weekend, and that's specifically why I buy the paper. So, you know, can you let the people know, you know, what's going on there and, you know, what we can do to help the cause of the outdoor person?
Well, from the standpoint of the Buffalo News, I was contacted a few weeks ago by the sports editor, and he basically said that freelancers, all the freelancers that work for the Buffalo News had to be cut back a certain percentage. And they gave me an option of either cutting my column back to every other week or eliminating the fishing report from October to April. And, you know, I thought that the fishing report helped spread it out over a couple different days in the paper, and they would continue to run my scatter shots, which is like an online notebook or a notebook item type deal in the outdoor calendar. So starting on November 6th, it's every other week. So I wasn't in last Sunday. I will be in next Sunday. So, you know, I know that the Buffalo News has done a great job building up that outdoor following. They gave me a whole page on Sunday and a third to a half a page on Thursday for the fishing beat. And, you know, now they're going to be cutting back here a little bit. You know, if people want to see that column return, they could probably write a friendly letter to the Buffalo News just saying they like the outdoor coverage that they've been giving to the sportsmen of Western New York here, and they'd like to see it continue. I mean, we've said it many times that, you know, just in Erie County alone, there's more hunting and fishing license sales in Erie County than any other county in the state, which is huge.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you know, I guess we should point out, you don't want to chastise them as much as you want to say, you know, I really enjoyed the outdoor portion of the paper and, you know, we'd like to see it return. You know, I think that's important because I agree that the Buffalo News has been a little bit of a, you know, an exception to the rule when it came to, you know, providing outdoor coverage. You talk to some of the other writers throughout the country and, you know, they don't have this in a lot of other places. So, you know, we want to give them kudos for keeping it going, but we also want to let them know that, you know, we're kind of feeling shortchanged with, you know, what's been provided in the past.
Sure.
Agreed. Hey, do you guys feel like taking a call? We have another caller coming in. You got a question?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we can do that.
Oh, they gave up. Sorry about that. Caller, I had you on hold for quite a while there. Just waiting for the proper time for the segue. But you can call back if you like.
Yeah.
Carry on, Frank. Bill?
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically we're, you know, looking to, you know, just say, hey, we want a little bit more coverage. And
he's back.
Oh.
Good morning, caller. Thanks for holding out with us there. You're on the greatest, world's greatest outdoor fishing show with Frank Campbell and Bill Hiltz, Jr. What's your question, comment, or concern?
Wow, Frank and Bill all at the same time. That's phenomenal.
I told you to block that caller. Joe Yeager, how are you doing?
Good, Frank. And Bill, how about yourselves? Excellent.
Yeah, I'm doing well, too. So, Joe, for those of you who don't know, you know, helps or helped Bill at some point, but now is helping me, you know, put together the Niagara Falls Fishing and Outdoor Expo coming up February, 16th to the 19th, 2023 at the Niagara Falls Convention Center. Joe, yeah. What do you got to say about, you know, what we're going to do, what we're going to be offering this year?
Yeah, Frank, so we're less than three months away, so we figured you better start spreading the word. We've been working on it for, believe it or not, for a couple of years because we got canceled with COVID. So we've got a lot of speakers coming in, a lot of education for the public like we've done before, whether it's walleye, bass, marine electronics, perch, trout and salmon in the lake, trout and salmon in the tribs, just fly fishing, just a whole bunch of education, pretty much to cover all the aspects of fishing that we have or we're blessed with to have here locally.
Yeah, Joe, how many seminars are given or how many seminar hours are given in the show each year? Do you know that number?
We'll have more than 200, Frank. Easily more than 200. I think it's over over 300 hours of education, and that's all free to our attendees.
That's awesome.
So plenty to choose from. The show is 4 days this year. We've expanded it. We had a lot of push for that. People A lot of people attended all 3 days of our 3-day show, and we've expanded now to 4 days, so they can really take advantage of all the education opportunities there. We have just anybody. Our website is NiagaraFishingExpo.com, and you actually can get a 4-day pass up there if anyone's looking for gifts for Christmas or anything like that. There's tickets you can get. Give you a full 4-day pass. It's still $20, so you can't beat that for 4 days of a show like ours.
No, exactly. And you know, I guess we should make people aware of the fact that there's some, if you want to dive in a little deeper, or maybe you know somebody that wants to become a better salmon fisherman, trout fisherman, there's also the schools that are involved. And, man, what a great Christmas gift. You can give people the gift of knowledge.
Right, right. And it's, you know, the beauty of it, Frank, is it's off-season. And we have schools, as you mentioned, really for the very knowledgeable fishermen, taught by extremely knowledgeable tournament fishermen for walleye and for salmon. Salmon we've done for 13 years now, and we sold it out. Now this year we're going to do a walleye one that basically mirrors what we do for the salmon school. But we also this year have beginner schools. So if you're looking to start out learning how to fish Lake Ontario for trout and salmon, we offer that school twice at a very nominal fee. We also offer a beginning fly fishing program, a beginning bass fishing, and a beginner kayak bass fishing.
Joe,
it's a great place for anybody who's starting out. Save yourself a whole bunch of money and time and come to one of these classes and get way down the learning curve so that when spring comes next year, you're ready to roll.
So you talked about the walleye school. You know, I know, you know, the salmon and walleye school are probably the, you know, centerpieces of what's offered if you're a hardcore fisherman or you want to learn, you know, extensively what's going on. Who did you get to come in and teach the walleye school?
Yeah, so we have our local pros, which is Craig Sleeman, who actually did very good on the tournament trail, the walleye tournament trail last year, including, I think, a fifth or a seventh place finish down in the finale at Dunker.
Yeah, it was a tough time.
Which was great. We have Don Rupert, which holds one of the largest walleye tournaments anywhere in the Great Lakes out of Silver Creek, Cattaraugus Creek. And then we have two experts, Lance Valentine and Ali Shakur. Both great educators. That's what they focus on. That's what their living is educating people on walleye. So we think the combination of those four instructors would give us the best class that's ever been offered in my lifetime here, that's for sure, on walleye.
So what's the cost of that class, Joe, and is it a multi-day class?
It starts actually Friday night. We've got a 2.5-hour session Friday night, which basically just kicks it off. There's free food and drinks to all the participants, adult drinks, I should mention, for Bill.
Oh.
Rolls right into Saturday, which is about 7-8 hours of very intense walleye instruction in the main ballroom with these four instructors, and then actually finish up Sunday morning just with guys that went back to their hotel rooms, thought about something, and they still got a question they didn't quite understand. We give them another hour on Sunday morning to come back and just ask. It's free form. Ask any question you want that's bothering you and you didn't quite understand from the previous 2 days.
Man, what a
so
what
yeah. The cost is $100, but to be honest with you, that includes a full buffet lunch on Saturday, and coffee and stuff throughout the day. A goodie bag with a lot of baits in it. When all is said and done. You basically are going to get your $100 back. A 4-day pass to the show, you're basically going to get your 4-day pass, your $100 investment back and then some, besides everything you're going to learn. So it's we think it's a great deal, and we expect that it'll sell out quickly, just like the salmon school does.
And that's offered right on the website also, Joe, where you can sign up for these.
Yeah, all available on the website. We are this year. We're offering a big section on fly fishing. We're now, believe it or not, we're actually the largest fly fishing show in New York State. basically a show within a show we're offering this year. It's highlights on Friday and Saturday, including a big social, craft beer, all that kind of stuff on Saturday later. Friday later in the day for anybody that's a fly fisherman. We think it's just going to do really, really well with the fly fishing community. Other things we've got is we have DC open house again. So there'll be 7 or 8 stations there from the DEC answering your questions. You can talk to them about anything from access to bass fishing to, you know, the environmental laws to salmon in the tribs. Whatever you want to talk to them about, they've got the experts there to listen to you and get your input and answer your questions. And then really the last piece I wanted to talk about is on Sunday we have a Super Kids Fishing Clinic. So we have a bunch of guys that are extremely knowledgeable in teaching kids how to fish. We have a program there for an adult to bring up to 2 kids with them. It's about a 2-hour session to go through, and at the end of it, basically you'll be able to take your kids out when the weather breaks and take them fishing, and you'll have all the knowledge you need to go out and do that. So we think that'll be real popular for a lot of the parents that are looking to take their kids fishing and really aren't fishermen themselves. So it's basically we train the adult along with the kids. So at the end of the session, you can go out and take your kids fishing.
Yeah, what an opportunity. I mean, at that time of the year to offer that, we don't conflict with any of the Bills games, any of the Super Bowl. You know, it's been moved to January to February to hope to catch a little bit better weather, believe it or not. And, you know, the offerings just keep growing and growing. You know, I don't know if you can find a better avenue to, you know, educate yourself, find stuff to buy. You know, the neat thing about that show is you go to seminars, the guys talk about it, and hopefully you can go right on the show, out at the show floor, and pick up exactly what they talked about. So, you know, you're not having to wait for it to come in line. You're actually feeling the stuff, you know, knowing what's going on. And, you know, it creates a much, much better angler, you know, in the long run.
And we didn't even talk about, we do have the whole traditional show side of life, where we have 170 booths with exhibitors out there, both showing and selling, manufacturers showing their products, retailers selling their products, pretty much reduced prices for most of them. You know, people, the other fishery type related businesses there also. So that's a traditional side of the show. That's the added benefit, but our focus has always been on teaching fishing, and that's the highlight of our show.
Well, we really appreciate you. Oh, there's Bill.
I know that you're going to have the DEC open house again and bringing in all DEC personnel from across the state relating to the fisheries. But you're going to have like an appetizer, so to speak, coming up at your Lake Ontario Trout and Salmon Association meeting in December, aren't you?
Yes, we are. That's actually December. I'm looking at my calendar. I believe it's the 8th, the Thursday. And
yeah.
We'll have some information going out in newspapers and stuff about that. But Steve Hurst, who's the Bureau Fishery Chief, I always get those words wrong if those are wrong, maybe. But he's the head guy in charge of New York State's fishing. And Steve will be at our meeting listening to the public, listening to the anglers that participate in the fishery about how their 2022 season went, what their experiences were, answering questions that they may have on the fishery. And he's basically there to get their input. That, you know, he wants the average fisherman's input on how they're doing managing that fishery.
Are you having wings?
If you bring them, Bill, we'll have wings.
Oh, come on.
Oh, boy.
Maybe we will.
What the heck?
The agenda, we do have free food and drinks, but I'm not sure if we're going to have wings or not, but we'll see. We might. Say right
Come
after
on.
Thanksgiving. Most people should be done with that stuff by then. thanks for bringing that up. And that is at the North Amherst Fire Hall on Tonawanda Creek at 7 o'clock that evening.
But we'll get you some information, and we'll get it out in the newspapers and stuff, and hopefully we have a great crowd. Steve's coming from Albany just for that day and driving back to Albany to get our input. So it's really important to make an effort to attend that meeting and show them how engaged we are up here about our fishery.
We're running out of time, boys. You know, we appreciate you both being on, and I know we had a couple more callers. We apologize. We'll get to you next time.
All right.
Well, hey, thanks for having me, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Bill. And thank you, Frank, for coming this morning. It's been a very informative and entertaining program. You got half a minute there to finish things up for us. What you got?
Yeah, we had a busy morning. There's a lot of opportunities coming up, both for hunting and fishing. You know, we said duck hunting's coming up, deer hunting continues, and you know, we're just going to keep on growing opportunities with fishing with the runoff and the tributaries. So take advantage of the weather while you can, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you missed any of this great program, just go to WLVL.com, listen to the podcast, and you can hear it all again. See you next time, folks. Have a great day.